This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA. With your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. We're in the month of May, and there were a ton of games that were released in April. Joining me to discuss these games and others is video game journalist Matt Cabral. Thanks for joining me, Matt.
Thanks for having me on again. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been playing a lot of Days Gone personally, and that's been making my days a little bit better. How about you?
Yeah, you know, for sure. I've been playing that one a lot. I reviewed it, and, you know, for one of the outlets I write for, and even after I reviewed it, I continued playing it. So that's always a good sign.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? When it came to Days Gone, what is one of the things you really liked most about it?
A few things jumped out at me, mostly because, you know, I played it at an E3 event, or an event prior to E3 last year, and it didn't really impress me. It kind of felt like a generic open-world zombie game, which there's many of those, as you know. So, yeah, every time I found something new in it, it kind of stood out. I was like, wow, you know, this is much cooler than I expected it to be. But, I mean, to sort of narrow it down, I really like the motorcycle. I'm loving the motorcycle for lots of different reasons. It's great transportation. I love that they've got sort of some role-playing elements there where you get to upgrade it and you get to maintain it. Your main character is a biker, so I guess that's appropriate. But, yeah, I the motorcycle is the thing that really stood out for me.
For me, what I really liked is the limited supplies. I thought that made it way more realistic than other games that are open-world concept because you have limited gas. So you have to go out there and look for gas. If you run out of gas, you got to kind of pedal your bike where you need to go. And I thought, you know what? At first it was annoying, but I appreciate it now. And it's like, okay, that it gave it a little bit more realism, at least I think.
I totally agree with you. And didn't it make it that much more satisfying? Like when you were, I don't know how far you are, but when you were able to upgrade your bike and get a bigger fuel tank?
Yes, right? Absolutely.
It plays right into that.
And I also like the weapons where you could just pick things up and be like, okay, I'm just going to use this 2x4. Because in other games, it'll be something extravagant. It'll be a big sword or a big gun blade. And in this case, it's like, no, get yourself a bat and hammer some nails into it. And I thought, yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt. The melee combat in the game is just, it's really brutal and visceral. It's super violent, but I guess that's what you want in a zombie game. But I mean, each contact, each blow is just like so satisfying when you're fighting those zombies or freakers, as they call them. Talking about the different melee weapons, I don't know if you got this one that's basically just a lawnmower blade.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I played hundreds of zombie games with all different kinds of melee weapons. I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to wield a lawnmower blade, and that was super satisfying to me. But yeah, I agree with you. I really like the melee combat, and I love that too sort of tied into the survival and the crafting aspect, because you could also, there's a skill you can get where you can actually, you know, repair these melee weapons, which take damage over time.
Now, with this particular game, do you think there'll be any DLCs, or this is a complete game as of?
I think there probably will be. Sony is, you know, really good typically about supporting their stuff with DLC. You know, they did a great job with the Spider-Man game. There were a bunch of DLCs for that. And I don't think anything officially has been announced, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, especially with E3 coming up, if maybe they had an announcement surrounding that. I'd like to see more. I mean, there's definitely a lot to do, you know, with these characters in this world. I think there's room for more story.
You know, I was wondering myself, and I couldn't figure it out. What do you think the respawn time is? Do you think the freaks come out at a good amount of pace? Or was it just like they randomly came out if you didn't destroy a nest? I wasn't sure, because I was trying to experiment, but with the limited supplies, I don't want to experiment too much.
You're talking about like when you're destroying the nest?
Yeah, because it seems like even though you destroy the nest, they still come out. And I'm like, oh, is it just that they're respawning? Like they're just coming back up, but the nest isn't there? Or am I just not doing it right?
I don't really know if I got this feedback in the game, but based on what I read and what at least the game tries to communicate to you is I think that you should destroy them during the day because there's more of them in their nest. You know, they're like hibernating or sleeping, whatever. So, yeah, you know, destroy them during the day and you'll get more of them. Although I think a few still sort of escape, you know, you lit them on fire. So they're like, you know, shit, let's get out of here. But at night, there's more outside. You know, they're roaming, they're after people. So there's less inside the hive and in the nest. Yeah, in theory, that's how it's supposed to work. In practice, I'm not so sure. I would just light those things up whenever I saw them and would usually run away and go on to the next one.
Yeah, this game is like a lot of runaway and sneaking, which is a lot more than I expected, honestly.
Yeah, there's a lot of running. And like you said, you know, with the motorcycle too, when you run out of gas the first few times, it can be a little annoying, but and you know, that's what some of the reviews reflected, some on that stuff a little bit, I don't know, maybe too much. But I actually, like you said, it sort of feeds into the whole survival aspect. I really like that. I thought it was great. Like, you know, if you were on the road at night and it's, you know, raining out and you're, you know, just about to, you know, you're not out of gas yet, but you can see the fuel gauge is kind of low. That for me anyway, really sort of added to the immersion and the tension. I really like that stuff.
Yeah, me too. You would be surrounded by wolves and freaks, and you're like, oh no, please don't run out of gas.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me in real life. I actually, one of my cars has a broken fuel gauge, and I'm off, you know, often driving and sweating that I'm not going to make it home or make it to my destination. And it actually sort of brought that feeling back where I was like, oh man, I hope I don't run out of gas here. Of course, you know, in the post-apocalypse, the consequences are a little more severe. But I really enjoyed like having to scavenge for the gas tanks. Repairing your bike with scrap and stuff. I thought it was all great.
Now, jumping to a new game, Yoshi's Crafted World.
I have played quite a bit of that, yes. I'm kind of a Nintendo nerd from way back in the day. I always check out, you know, whatever new platformer they've got. And they come out with them pretty frequently. You know, they've got the Kirby games, they've got the Yoshi games, the Mario games, and, you know, everybody goes for Mario games. Everybody loves those. They're fantastic. But, you know, under the radar, these other ones come out, like Yoshi's Crafted World. And it's really good. I mean, if you like Nintendo platformers, if you like Mario Odyssey and Super Mario games. Yeah, it's not quite as challenging as games. It's a little bit more family aimed, but sort of the signature Nintendo thing. It's like just the really clever puzzles and fantastic level design. And it looks great. You know, as the name suggests, everything is sort of made from like arts and crafts. Basically anything you can like pick out your recycle bin. That's what the levels and some of the characters and bosses and stuff are constructed out of. So it's really just a really cool game to look at.
That does sound pretty cool. Now, I haven't played it, but I've read that Nintendo didn't develop this game. Is that true?
Yeah, it's one of the outside developers. And a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of Nintendo games, they assume Nintendo's, you know, making them themselves. But they've got a lot of developers that work for them and sort of, you know, they got these great relationships. I don't remember the name of the developer, but I know they've done, I think they did the last Kirby game for them as well. So it's somebody they've worked with before.
Is it a two-player game or is this strictly one player?
You can play co-op. You can do same-screen co-op. You know, there's the main Yoshi, the green little dinosaur, of course, but it's sort of a whole island of Yoshis. So I think there's maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 of them, and you can, you know, pick whichever one you like. And as I find with a lot of the Nintendo co-op games, it gets a little bit chaotic when you've got two characters on screen. So I actually prefer a single player, but I do play with two of my kids too. They enjoy it. So if you want to play, if you enjoy these games more with a, you know, with a couch co-op buddy, you can certainly do that.
Funny, the couch co-op buddy I have is for Cuphead, and I've been playing a lot of Cuphead on Nintendo Switch lately, and I got stuck on a couple stages, and I was like, oh God, you know, we got to find another controller because I need help.
So, oh, okay. Did it work out?
Oh, you know, I had to borrow it from my cousin, and I had to go drive and get it, and I promised to bring it back. I still have it.
Which boss was it? I'm curious. I'm a big Cuphead guy. So.
Okay, it was on the last portion of it with the, God, I can't remember his name, but it's the robot head. I can't get past that. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, on the third island.
Yes, I cannot get past him for the life of me. And my friend who has been helping me, I have to teach her how to play it because she's like, okay, I'll try. And I'm like, I was doing better by myself.
Yeah, that's another one. I play that with my son a lot, and we love playing together. It's a blast, and he loves it. But yeah, I mean, there's so much going on anyway in those boss battles. And you throw another player in. We actually get confused sometimes who is who. My son will throw it on the controller all mad. He's like, oh, I thought I was Mugman that time. Like, dude, sorry, no, you got to pay attention. You were Cuphead that time.
Yes, that happened.
I think it's so great that's on Switch, though.
Yes, I was surprised it came on Switch. I thought it was going to be exclusive for Xbox, like, forever, or that wasn't the case.
Yeah, that was the plan originally. I don't know if it was a one-year deal. They do have some new levels releasing exclusively for Xbox, I think. They announced at last E3. I think that'll be exclusive, at least, again, maybe a timed exclusive, and then maybe those will make it to the Switch later. But that's one of the few games. I don't rebuy a lot of games. You know, they release games, you know, a popular game on multiple platforms, but this one I repurchased for the Switch. I think it's just such a great fit for that platform.
What is another game I've been playing? Oh, so I've been playing another game. It's Dead Cell, Katana Zero, and Skyforce Reloaded. Yeah, and it's because I get frustrated with one, I'll jump to another, and then you get frustrated again, and you jump to another.
So you're like pinballing back and forth between all these games.
It is, but it's kind of easy because with the Skyforce Reloaded and Dead Cell, it's just a lot of grinding. All you do is you grind for the souls in Dead Cell, and in Skyforce Reloaded, you grind for the coins. you upgrade your stuff and you move on, move forward, but you end up playing the same areas over and over again. But I don't mind that. But the Katana Zero, you have to be a little bit more like careful and you have to be more thoughtful. And sometimes I'm not.
If it's a game with a rewind mechanic like that, then it's assuming you're going to fail. It's expecting you to fail, right?
Yeah.
And giving you more opportunities. Yeah, I find with games like that, if I start to lose patience, I have to move on to something else because I just don't pay enough attention when I get super frustrated like that to move on to another game. It's good to have a couple going, like have one that's sort of soothing and relaxing, or at least easier. Maybe like a Yoshi, and then something that's a little bit more hardcore.
No, absolutely. I have to agree with that. You need at least two games nowadays because, like Cuphead, it was easy and hard. There's no middle ground.
No. Cuphead is brutal. And you don't even if you play it on its so-called easier mode, you don't unlock the other islands, right? Yeah, you gotta beat all the bosses on the hardest difficulty. It's a really good game. I don't know, because I'm not usually that into games, you know, and I don't have the time like I used to, so these games that are just like punishing me, I'm like, yeah, I don't have time for this. But with Cuphead, maybe it's the art style or something. I love the look of the game, so I just love playing it. I also love that it's like just boss battles. There's no like filler in between. It's just sort of good stuff, in my opinion anyway. So I keep getting drawn back to it.
Yeah, I like that they actually call it run and gun. They don't try to like sugarcoat it. You know what it is. Run and gun boss fight. Boom, that's it. And it's like, okay. They could have put a couple more areas in and called it platforming. And I'd been like, all right, I can deal with that.
Yeah, maybe take a breather from the harbor stuff. Those run and guns too. Some of those are more difficult than the boss battles.
Yeah. You know, I like how they show you where you failed at. So I can like, oh my God, I was right at the very ending, like four or five times in a row. And I'm like, okay, I have to slowly put down the Switch because my first reaction is to break something.
When you play it on Switch, do you play in handheld mode or do you put it on your TV?
Oh, handheld mode. I don't like doing it on the TV. I don't know why. But then if it's co-op, I put it on the TV because, you know, you don't really have a choice. Somebody's going to be over your shoulder or you'll be over somebody else's shoulder.
True. Yeah, I pretty much like everything on the Switch in handheld mode. I think that platform is such a marvel that you can play these console quality games anywhere. It still kind of amazes me. So I feel like you're not really getting the most out of the system if you're playing it on the TV.
I agree with that. I'm like, this needs to be a handheld. I take it everywhere. Doctor's appointments. I take it to events. And I'll just sneak away and sit in a corner and play on the Switch. And it's like, okay, yeah, this is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah,
I don't need a TV.
The first time when I first got a Switch, I took it on a plane and I was playing Breath of the Wild. And I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is like, you know, if it's like 12-year-old me could see this now, his brain would explode. Games have just come so far, so amazing.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
I'm on Twitter. And I write for various outlets, but most of my articles I'll post up there on Twitter. So I'm at GameGoat on Twitter.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.